The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
Hello, everyone. You are listening to the Bastards of Boston Baseball. It's All-Star Week. There's no games to talk about unless you want to talk about the All-Star game, but nobody's watching that. So we're going to mix it up tonight. We're going to do a mid-season ladies' night. I don't remember doing one mid-season before. So here's our rendition of that. Joined tonight again by Kayla and Lori. They are veterans of the format. This is like their third or fourth time on. So how are you, ladies?
Doing good. How about you?
I'm excellent.
Yeah, all is well. We were on a 10-game winning streak, so all is well.
Lori, I've mentioned this before. You used to be like embedded into the war room with us and did a pretty good job keeping us in line. And after she left, like, all hell is broken loose a couple of times. Jim Delfino quits, gets into a spat, and another guy named Evan, you know, took things a little too seriously. Both good guys, but just you gotta have the right personality to run with this crowd. But you guys do, so I appreciate that. So I'm going to hand it off to you guys, but I'll be here if needed. So I know Lori wanted to get into the Devers thing, so maybe that's a good starting point.
Yeah.
Well, I think, Lori, though, first, before we do that, there's something else that we need to say. Do you remember?
Oh, no, I don't. What was it?
I think we have a certain birthday that we should shout out right now.
Oh, yes. Yes. Happy birthday there, Mr. Cushman.
Thank you. I'm really loud on the internet, as we all know, but I haven't celebrated my birthday since I was literally 13. I just, it's not my thing, but I do appreciate the wishes, and my Facebook's been blowing up all day. So, and Kayla as well. So happy birthday to her.
Two days.
Yeah, 2 days ago.
Oh, happy birthday, Kayla.
Thank you. You know, I always remember people's birthdays, and whether or not they celebrate them or not, I always like to make sure that I give them my wishes, because it's just, I don't know, it's always been my thing.
And we're 10 years apart, Kayla, so that makes us, you know, the same year of the decade. Yeah.
Yep.
So.
Yep.
I thought that was interesting.
For sure. Yeah.
When we first started interacting, I actually thought you were like way younger, and you still look way younger than you are.
Oh, I get it all the time. I was at work yesterday at my ballet job, and one of the kids that I was working with, who I believe is like 25, I mentioned that my birthday was the previous day, and he said, "Oh, how old are you now?" And I said, "Well, I'm 32." And he said, "No." I'm like, "Yeah, I'm 32."
Because I'll send people memes, and I'll be real. You know, some of them aren't appropriate. And like when I first met, I'm like, I'm not sending Kayla that one. No, she can't see that. And I'm like, oh, you're 32? Bam. You know, it's funny. So, yeah. And we're into the same stuff anyway, the same genre of stuff. So it's funny.
Yep. But, yep.
Same all here. Right. You guys get after it. I'll hang out.
All right, Lori, you want to start with Devers?
Well, so were you surprised when they actually ended up trading him?
Yes and no. I think it was coming with all the drama that had been brewing, starting all the way back to spring training, whether you're on Dever's side or the front office, whoever side you're on, it's just both sides were wrong in the way they handled it. So I wasn't surprised in that aspect, but I was just surprised that when it happened, and it kind of just, to me, it felt like it was just like one, we beat the Yankees and then boom, he was gone. And it was strange to me. I was a little uncomfortable with it at first, but I mean, lately, the way that we've been playing, I feel a little bit better about it. And I think, you know, I think that over time, it'll become more okay. Like I'll feel more settled about it.
So it's funny. I listened to the Reaction podcast and all of the guys were in just a tizzy and I was actually okay with it. I didn't understand. Well, actually, that's not true. I understood why everyone was, we were all equally in shock, but I was okay with it because yes, the front office could have handled it better, but he clearly has character issues because you're earning $300 million. And you are going to act like this much of a diva. That's a problem. That's a problem. You're not being a good example for the young ones in the clubhouse. But if you go down the litany of issues, you wouldn't accept leadership. You wouldn't be the face of the franchise. You wanted everything on your own terms. So to me, you're not worth the price we're paying. Output is not consistent. You're not great at defense. Why are you here? And I wrote a tweet. I'm still calling them tweets, whatever. I wrote a tweet that I never thought I would ever say that I would rather have Alex Bregman than Rafi Devers. But Bregman has done so much more in the short amount of time that he's been with the team than Devers ever did his entire tenure. I don't miss him. Don't let the door hit you on the way out. Have a nice life. Now you're somebody else's problem. And I'm fine with that.
For sure. And, you know, when he, you know, first got traded and we were hearing about him working out at first base, that also kind of stung with me a little bit because I'm like, great, now he's going to, he left the Red Sox or we traded him away and now he's going to play first base over there when that's all we wanted him to do. Like, it was just a disaster. But then I saw recently that, I forget the player's name, but a former Giants player who reached out to Devers to do some workouts at first base and nothing crazy, just position stuff. You know, if the ball's hit here, you're going to stand here, you know, those kind of things. And he blew him off as well. And that player called him out for it. So I'm not saying it's nice to see that he's doing those things over in San Francisco, but it is kind of nice to see that, like, he's not over there and being on his best behavior, you know, because then it just makes it that much easier to let it go, in my opinion.
Well, so I think the details of all of that are a little squirrely. It was Will Clark, I believe, and it was on his podcast. There's been a big dust up with how things have been misquoted. So I'm not exactly sure what the truth is about all of that at this point. Even if he is, you know, Mr. Nice Guy over there now, I'm still fine with it. I don't want you on my team if you're not going to do so everybody jumped on Tanner Houck when Tanner Houck didn't want to get the vaccine. And I know I'm treading into semi-controversial waters, but everyone jumped on him saying he's not willing to do what's best for the team and why is he on the team and yada, yada, yada. And here is Rafi Devers, who's the sacred cow, who's not doing what's best for the team. And yet, and everybody was like, well, that's it's disappointing, but at the end of the day, now I've got someone to compare you up against. There's Bregman, who has made a world of difference, and then there's you, and you wouldn't do the least thing that we needed you to do because your pride was hurt. Well, I'm sorry that you couldn't put on your big boy pants, but I have no sympathy. I just don't. And I feel as though I feel vindicated in his leaving because of how well we're playing right now. It seems as though the young ones are coming in. They feel like they have room to shine. There isn't the ceiling of or the spotlight of Devers that they have to be apart from. Now everyone can play their role, and they seem to have congealed and gelled to me. And they seem to have been, I'm really getting those 2018 vibes. And even the 2004 vibes, where they're just, they seem like they're having fun. And it's fun to watch. And I realize that, yes, they swept the Nationals, and okay. And yes, they swept the Rockies, and yeah, we should have. But it felt good that we swept the Rays. And I'm excited to see what I'm hoping that this break will be a time for them to stay dialed in, to even refocus, to become even more dialed in. How can we be even tighter fitting together, so that when after the break comes and we're going through this gauntlet of crazy teams that we have to play, they will have the confidence that they need to go forth and prosper.
Yeah, no, for sure. And, you know, I like how you brought up the fact that with the young kids, you know, being up at the big club level, you know, they're meshing together, you know, playing together more. And it makes sense, you know, a lot of them were down in Worcester playing together for so long. Meyer, Anthony, Rafaela, you know, a year or so ago. So, I mean, it makes sense that they're able to mesh well together and play like a team because they've already done it. And, you know, with Devers being gone, who knows, or if Devers stuck around, who knows if they would have had that chance when they did. You know, I think it was always going to come. It's just a matter of when it was going to happen. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, it was like this podcast has talked about many, many times, Terry and everybody on it, there has to be a painful trade that's going to happen. And unfortunately, it was done at a really not inconvenient, but a really terrible time. But you know, maybe it's something that we needed. Maybe it was that spark that this team needed. And I will say that I've played many sports all throughout my life, never a pro athlete, so I'm not at their level, but I do know what it feels like to be a younger player on a team and having those upperclassmen who have the bad attitudes that make you feel not welcomed, or, you know, make you feel like you're not a good player. I've played on teams where upperclassmen are yelling at the younger underclassmen on the field, and that's never a good feeling too. So we don't know what happened behind closed doors as far as the locker room stuff, but, you know, I feel like a part of why they are able to play so well together, mesh well together, is maybe they, like you said, they don't have that pressure of Devers, and maybe it was putting a lot more pressure on the young kids than we thought.
Yeah. And again, we have leadership now, and that's huge in and of itself. We needed someone to take the reins. And I'm grateful. I never, ever thought in a million years the statement would come out of my mouth that I am grateful for Alex Bregman. Never. I still will sometimes replay. I'm ridiculous, because sometimes we'll replay that Benintendi catch of Bregman's, you know, that hit out into the outfield there. Just because it brought me so much joy. But now it's just like, oh, but he's on our team now. I never thought I would appreciate it. And boy, if I ever dissed Alex Bregman, then I apologize for it now, because he's been awesome.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think Bregman, you know, is a great leader for the clubhouse, but, you know, the young players as well. And I think I don't remember which game it was, if it was in the Rays series or series before, but he was, you know, talking with the younger players about different, I don't know if it was swing mechanics or whatnot, but he was the time to sit with them and teach them and show them how they can improve, which, you know, that's a big deal, you know, especially coming from somebody like Alex Bregman, who's a veteran, who's been around and won, you know, World Series and whatnot. So,
yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if he would become some type of either a hitting coach or even in a managerial position. I think that he's obviously gifted in that respect. And I wouldn't mind seeing him be a manager for us. I'm just putting that out there. Just saying.
Well, we'll see what happens with that. any players, Lori, that specific players that have been a big surprise for you this point in the season?
I feel so vindicated because when we did the off-season podcast, I said, I'm very interested to see what Zidane Raffaella does in his second year on the team. And I will completely admit to you, I have a learning disability when it comes to numbers. So math is not my friend. I can function in life, but don't talk to me about algebra and A finding the B and C, whatever. But I am pretty good at reading the tea leaves. And I just had a sense that Raffaella was really going to be so much more than we ever anticipated him being. And he's incredible. And it's like, Rafi who? We've got Zidane here. I'm so excited for him. And I feel like you were saying before, like he's up with his guys now. You know, Meyer is there and Anthony is there. And Campbell, I mean, they're all, you know, well, not Campbell anymore. Now, he's with his guys that they were going through the ranks together anyway. And now they're, you know, the band's back together. And I feel like that is what has kind of helped to create the extra energy. So I'm excited for him. This is only the beginning. And if he turns into a surprisingly younger version of Mookie Betts, I will be very happy about that.
For sure. You know, I remember when we extended him last season, and I wasn't really sure how I felt about that because he didn't at that point do anything that kind of wowed me. But I also in my head was thinking, well, maybe there's something that they see that, you know, seeing him for the future, I'm not sure. And then at the beginning of the season, he started off kind of slow and he was all right. But now he's just been on a tear. And, you know, anybody that knows me knows that I'm a huge Red Sox fan. So anywhere I go, anything that happens, they'll bring it up to me. So the other day when I walked into work, somebody brought it up. They're like, man, that kid, Zidane Raffaella, he's like the best center field or the best outfielder in baseball. I'm like, yep. And he's on my team.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm also happy to see Roman Anthony settle in. He seems like he's Marcelo Meyer. I know he'll eventually hit more of a stride. It seems a little bit up and down to me. But Roman Anthony seems to have kind of settled in. So I'm just waiting for Meyer to really fit that groove. Am I wrong in saying that?
I agree. I think, you know, Roman Anthony, he was in my eyes a little slow to start as well, but you know, I don't think he was striking out as much. I think he was walking more and hitting the ball, just not, you know, wasn't falling anywhere. But Meyer, I just feel like he's been streaky. Like, I feel like there's been a few games where he's hitting the ball and he's, you know, 3-for-4, 2-for-4, no strikeouts. And then the next couple games, it's, you know, 0-for-3 with 2 strikeouts or something like that. So right now, to me, he's a little bit like a roller coaster ride. And who knows, you know, maybe it just needs a little bit more time to settle in. But I'm not worried. I'm not worried at all.
Okay. So I had a moment where in my head, I was like, dear God, please do not let this boy be another Bobby Dalbec. Please, and, you know, for the love of, you know, Pedro Martinez, do not allow this to happen to this young man. Let him settle in, find his stride, and be great. And I just, you know, I had a momentary flashback when he struck out at one point in time, and I was like, no, please, no.
Yeah. I'm not that worried. I don't think he'll get to that level. Hopefully not. But no, I'm excited to see what he can do once he's, I feel like, fully settled at the big league level. How about Carlos Narvaez? Oh, I was not expecting him to be what he is.
Yeah. You know what? We've said it before. Sometimes somebody just needs to change a scene. And for him, something must have not gelled with him and the Yankees. And I am all right with that. You know, we need to send the Yankees a fruit basket for giving him to us, because he's been amazing. And I'm so grateful. But by the same token, I feel so bad for Connor Wong. Last year, Cushman himself was all excited about Connor Wong and how well he was doing. And yet here we are. The poor man is just, he's not just in a rut. He is in a pit. And I just feel bad for him.
Yeah, I agree. I like Terry, I had high hopes for Connor Wong. I felt like there was a few times where I saw some potential in him becoming, you know, a pretty decent major league catcher. But I mean, this year, I don't know if it was just the injury or a combination of getting injured and then, you know, essentially losing his starting job to Narvaez, and that kind of is playing more of a mental thing on him. But yeah, I agree. We should definitely send, I don't know, maybe a Dunks gift card to the Yankees or something.
Well, so here's the thing, though. So now that we're coming up to the, you know, the idea of trades, I know that everybody wants starting pitching. I would love to see us get, like, because we traded away, oh gosh, what is that kid's name? We traded him away for Garrett Crochet.
Kyle Teal?
Yes, thank you. I feel like it would be nice to have another catcher in our back pocket, especially if Wong doesn't come back up for air. So I think that would be wise. Because we've got an embarrassment of riches, you know, when it comes to bats and whatnot, in my estimation. So pitching and catching would be nice to see us bring somebody in. However, and I know, again, if the guys heard, when the guys hear this podcast, if they hear it, I shouldn't get emotionally attached to players. I know that. I know that full well, but I can't help but like Jaron Duran. And I mean, I like him because of how he's played, how he's been such a spark plug. I understand he's getting older. I understand that he's losing some speed. I understand that his defense and hitting are slipping a bit. Although that was a monster home run the other night. It was the longest one he's ever hit. And there was like another record there as well. So I just like who he is in the clubhouse. I think he's such a good example, especially for the young ones, because of how he's been so open with his mental health issues and the challenges that he's faced. And he's done so well to be such a good example in that arena. I would be really, really sad to see him go, because he's somebody who has done whatever it has taken for the team. And so when you compare somebody like him to a Devers, sure, by Devers, I really love players who become the heart of the team. And, you know, we haven't had that really since Poppy. I'm not saying that Duran could step into that void, but it's just nice to have someone there to be the team's cheerleader.
Yeah, he is. He's, you know, he's that player that people know and love, even if you don't watch baseball all the time. I guess so they've talked previously on this podcast about trading between Abreu and Duran. who would you pick?
Oh, gosh.
I mean, I know you just went into this whole thing about not trading Durant and whatnot, but
I know.
Are you still keeping him, or yeah, you're still keeping him and trading Abreu, or?
I know that's the, between the two of them, we have to keep Abreu. He's got youth on his side, and and it breaks my heart to say that, but it would have to be, we would have to keep Abreu. What about yourself?
I have thought long and hard about this. I feel like for way too long. I don't think it's an easy answer because, you know, I'd love to keep Durant, but I know, you know, something has to happen, you know, but I just don't want them, if we were to get rid of Durant, it can't be for, you know, like what we got for Devers. Like what we got for Devers, that was just crazy. That's I think what made me even more upset was the fact that, yeah, we got rid of him, but this is what we got back. So I think if either or whoever we get rid of, it has to be a good return. And I know that's kind of like a cop-out answer, but I mean, like, what are they worth? You know, what are they worth on the market?
Yeah.
What are teams willing to give us for them if they're interested?
Yeah, I mean, let's be honest and say that Abreu would probably be worth more than Durant, I would think, because of his youth, because he's got, you know, a little bit more energy. Durant is on the bad side of the numbers. It makes that part difficult. It just feels like Hobson's choice to try and come up with what would be the best option there. Speaking of people we could get rid of, I'm gonna get into some controversial waters here. Cooper Boardman's been great. I've enjoyed the last two games of that Rays series because it was Cooper and Will Middlebrooks, and I liked that tag team. I was thinking to myself, if that whole dust up with Will Fleming and Will Clark is part of the reason why we've gotten a little bit of break from Mr. Fleming, that I'm good with it. I'm very good with it. Keep Cooper. I would, you know, I wouldn't miss Mr. Fleming. I'm sorry, but I wouldn't. And clearly,
yeah,
he always inserts himself unnecessarily into situations. How much he gave Tanner Houck a hard time, and then he gets political and it's just all stupid. And he doesn't seem to have learned his lesson.
Yeah, I don't typically listen to the games, but occasionally if, you know, I'm driving to work at night, I'll listen. And the past few times that I've driven into work, I've listened and it's been Cooper Boardman, and I have to say it has been really enjoyable. So I'm definitely a fan now because of you.
Well, I'm glad I could corrupt you, but he's so much more, I think it's because of his youth. Like, he's not cynical. He's still excited, but he's not excited in that creepy way that Will Fleming, I mean, I remember Cushman mentioning during the off-season podcast how, like, Will Fleming has this weird way of saying things in a semi-erotic. He just gets weird. And it's like, dude, if you start heavy breathing, I am turning this radio station off. It's just not going to happen. But Cooper Boardman is a freshness and an enthusiasm and a wonder for the game still. And I love that. I just bless his heart. I just really enjoy him.
Yes, I agree. So what you're saying is you want the Red Sox to keep Cooper Boardman and get rid of Will Fleming at the trade deadline.
Yes, 1,000 times yes. Yes, please and thank you. And I mean, not for nothing. Is it terrible to say that I'm kind of hoping that, like, you know, I mean, God willing, bless his heart, that Mr. Fleming will learn his lesson from this whole situation and how maybe he needs to be a little bit more guarded with some of the things he says and how he says them and, you know, how he addresses stuff. And maybe this is a good learning opportunity. But if somehow it was just Cooper Boardman and Will Middlebrooks, I would be okay with that. I would be more than okay with that. I might open some champagne and celebrate. But that's just me. I'm sure others, he has fans. I'm not sure how, but again, bless their hearts.
No, I wouldn't be opposed to hearing more Cooper Boardman on the radio. I probably would listen more on the radio, honestly. So you brought up how you would get rid of Will Fleming. That was your pick, I guess, right? I would say for me, one of the players that I have just not been loving this season is Justin Wilson. I don't know why. Just every time he goes out to pitch, I don't know. It makes me nervous. He makes me nervous. And he's just it's not been my favorite this season. I don't know.
Oh, gosh. There was one guy. I'm going to pull the I'm 56 card, and I can't remember all the details. But there was a gentleman that we were playing the Rockies, and all of a sudden, Cora puts in this pitcher who loaded the bases. And I'm like, does Cora feel bad for the Rockies that he's going to put this guy out to pitch now? And like, whoever that guy was, we need to get rid of him. I don't remember his name. I feel bad. I'm sorry. I realize that this is highly unprofessional. And I'm sure I will get all the hate on Twitter if people knew what my handle was. But I was like, ooh, who, oh, it was a guy that they knew they got him in some type of a trade or brought him up somehow, and they knew that he was weak sauce. And boy, yeah, he's like watered down ketchup, that guy. I just, can we get rid of him too? I'd be okay with getting rid of him too. I can't remember his name, but whatever, whoever he is, if we dropped him off at the train station and said, have a nice life, I'd be okay.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just something about like his demeanor when he's out there. And I don't have numbers or anything in front of me, but I feel like from games I have watched where he's pitched, he hasn't pitched well, or he has given up a lot of, you know, a ton of runs or whatnot. I don't know. That name just always stands out to me because I feel like every time something goes wrong, he's usually the reason why. So that's just,
I have a question for you. So go Terry, at the beginning, when we did our off season podcast, he had asked us how enthusiastic we were about this team and had we had the punch and were we like, we're going to the World Series. And I remember you were saying that your girlfriend was hopefully going to see you be less sad this year. And I had said, because I'm the Debbie Downer of the group, I had said, well, I'm going to be cautiously optimistic. And I was proved right until after the Devers trade. And now all of a sudden I'm like, I'm looking at the punch saying, that's a nice color. I don't know that I've actually had it to drink. I want to see how they handle this gauntlet. I do feel bad for Devers that he wasn't able to put Garrett Cole away for one last time, one last series. And I'm sure Garrett Cole will be heartbroken that Rafi is gone. But I'm just looking at the punch. I haven't drank it yet, but I'm contemplating it. I'm wondering if somebody's put rum in it to make it interesting. So it's like, what are your thoughts?
I'm still concerned for after the All-Star break because of the three series that we have coming up. The Cubs, I forget the other two teams, but it's a crazy, you know, we have some good teams that we're going to be playing. So I am concerned because while we have been playing great, now we're going to have all this time off, and you know, that can go one or two ways. You can come out of this All-Star break after having all this time off, get well rested and continue on, or you can do what we did last year and the year before and the year before and come out and you just play like complete garbage. So I am staying cautious right now as far as going near the punch, because I want them to prove to me that they can sustain it in the second half. I feel like the last few years they've made some noise in the first half. We get to the All-Star break, we come out, and then we're out of it by, I don't know, mid-August or whatever. So I think for me this year, they have to sustain above 500 would be nice, you know, after the All-Star break, and not fall below 500 like we did last year, because we were 10 games over 500 going into the All-Star break. We come back and then it fell completely apart. So, you know, that concerns me. It is a different team. There are different people, different players, but you never know. So I stay cautious with the punch. I'll be in the same room as the punch, but I'm not going to go near it. Not right now.
In the same room as the punch. That was good. That was good. So here's the thought. And you can tell me if I'm kind of going off the rails on this. But what if Bregman is giving them pointers on how to stay focused and not lose that momentum? We also haven't had that leadership in these past few years to make sure that they're staying on track. How do you keep the momentum even though there's a break? And so I feel as though maybe Bregman will give some wisdom. I feel like Story was waiting for somebody like Bregman to come alongside. And because Story was doing his best, but Bregman really brings the knowledge and the experience and the talent and the ability to really speak into this is how you do it. So I'm in the room with the punch. I'm staring at it. I'm not quite sniffing it yet. Again, I'm waiting to see if there's some rum involved, but I want to have a sip. I want to be that freewheeling optimist that Cushman was at the beginning of the year. I want to throw, you know, caution to the wind. I want to be fired up because, I mean, we went from fourth to third. We're only, I think,
3 games back from Toronto, and only, I think, a game behind
two.
The Yankees.
I think I thought it was two.
Or two, yeah. But, one or two.
We're above 500, so that's pretty good. I mean, I'm so torn. I want to throw caution to the wind, and yet the other part of me is like, but it's the Red Sox.
Yeah. But you know, you did talk about Bregman and Story and how them being together, leadership wise, can be a good thing. And yeah, I agree as well. You know, maybe when Devers was around and we didn't have Bregman, it was just Story. Story was injured and not really on the field as much, so he couldn't be an on the field voice or leader. But maybe it was a little awkward between him and Devers as far as leadership goes, and that's why we didn't have a clear definition of who was the leader. And now that Devers is gone, Bregman comes in, who has from day one said, I will do whatever for the team, I'll play wherever, whatever core, you know. And I think that they're meshing well, better together. And look, they're both two veteran guys who came from two completely different careers. Bregman won World Series playing for the Astros. Story didn't win, but he was, you know, he played for the Colorado Rockies, who weren't always a very good team. So they have different backgrounds, different experiences that they can teach to the younger kids. And, you know, maybe that's something that will help with motivate or keeping the motivation going after the All-Star break.
Yeah, that's at least what I mean, come on. I'm sorry, but you can't tell me that Rafi wasn't toxic. There's got to be, how do they go from where they were to where they are now post Devers? It's too much of a difference to me, even if it's in a short amount of time. Okay, I can hear all the haters saying, you don't know what you're talking, whatever. You can't tell me that there's that. That's a big difference to me. And again, I'm pretty good at reading the tea leaves. I think he was more toxic than anybody knew. I'm just glad he's gone. I'm just glad he's gone. Haters gonna hate, but I'm glad he's gone.
Yes, couldn't agree more. So with the second half of the season coming up, what do you think is the biggest takeaway or something that the Red Sox should look to focus on to continue winning or keeping the motivation? Like something positive you can think of.
Boy, I got smoked on Twitter for saying something like this, but I feel as though the fundamentals, we need to continue to focus on the fundamentals, the base running, the fielding, because those are the things that make or break you. I feel like at the end of the, yes, there's a hitting, yes, there's a pitching, but if you're terrible at defense, there's no hope. And so I just, as evidenced by the Baltimore Orioles right now. So I hope that they work on, continue to focus on the fundamentals, continue to make sure that those skills are sharp. I feel like they tend to be overlooked. It just makes a world of difference. I'm gonna say this. I'm gonna be pissing off so many people. I want Sedan Rafaela to be a new version of Mookie Betts, but I don't want him to ever be traded. That's what I want for Sedan Rafaela. I feel like he's on a good road, man. And I know everybody is like, it's gonna be Roman Anthony. Okay, well, let's have two. But I really like Sedan. I'm so glad he's proving me right.
Yeah, I joked with my girlfriend about Sedan Rafaela once he's been, you know, doing so well. Because I said, oh, now that he's doing well, that's a good reason for the Red Sox to want to get rid of him, just like they did with Mookie and whoever else. But I hear where you're coming from. I agree. And I also agree about the fundamental part as well. I think it's easy to lose focus on that at the pro level, where there's so many other factors like analytics and pitch clock and this and that. So it's easy, I think, to kind of forget about those things that you learn probably in youth baseball. I mean, I played softball growing up, again, not a pro at a pro level, but the one thing I had a coach tell me that always stuck with me, and I played all the way up to college, is baseball is a thinking game. You always have to be thinking. You have to know how many outs there are, where the runners are, where you're going to go with the ball before it's even hit to you. If it's hit to you, you have to always be thinking about that. And I just, that stuck with me. And I remember I would sit in the outfield and, okay, we have one out, a runner on first base. If I get the ball, this is where I'm going to throw it. Like, that's how I would constantly think. And, you know, I just think that once they get to that pro level, there's so many other things that they're focusing on that it's easy to lose those skills. But I think, you know, staying sharp on those, making the plays, fielding the ball, the base running, even playing small ball. I forget what game it was, but Cora, I believe, was ejected. And after he was ejected, we bunt, I think, back to back, and there were two great bunts, and it moved the runners. It's not anything flashy or fancy, but in certain situations, all you have to do is move the runners. Mm-hmm. Why not just bunt, especially when we have speed on our team? It doesn't always have to be crush the ball to the outfield. Like, you can bunt the ball and still.
I feel like it's more impressive when they're able to play small ball well. I mean, I appreciate the homers, and I feel Oh gosh, do I say this?
Bunting is not an easy thing, and I used to do it a lot because I'm only 5'2". I was always the quickest one on my team, so I was the leadoff hitter. But I would bunt and I would get on every single time. But you have to do it a certain way. So I mean, I get it. It's not the easiest thing, especially where at the pro level the pitches are moving every which way. But yeah I agree. But
short girls unite. I'm totally with that. But I feel like the whole home run thing, it becomes such a this is gonna sound so crass, but like everybody's gonna whip things out and measure things just to make sure, like to see who's got the biggest. And it doesn't always have to be like that. It can be small ball, can be impressive because like you said, that's what moves the players. That's where I feel like the skills really come into play, the bunting and all of the base running and all of it. And so I don't know, I find that more impressive, but maybe that's says something about me. I don't know, So here's a question for you. If we could get any pitcher and bring him to the Red Sox, who would it be?
Oh, that's a good question. I am not sure. I mean, the first name that comes to mind, and this is only because I just listened to the latest podcast episode that the Bastards did. So they were talking about Nate Eovaldi, and that's the first name that comes to mind because of that. And I wouldn't mind having him back. But other than that, I don't know. I'd have to really think about that. And I don't know.
How
about you?
I have a soft spot in my heart for Nate Eovaldi. I just like him. He was a good guy. He was a team player that, but I know he loves being in Texas. So I know that would be hard. I know the name Joe Ryan has been brought up a lot. That I feel like he would be an interesting addition. You know, maybe there could be a Joe Ryan fight club. I don't know. But but it would be, I do like the idea of Nate, but more for sentimental reasons than anything else, because he was so good. He was good for us, I felt like. But it would be, I feel like Ryan would be more in a more interesting addition.
For sure. And if I'm not mistaken, at some point in the second half, we should be getting Patrick Sandoval back, no? So he'll be hopefully returning too.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah. I know he's been injured, but I haven't heard anything like since then as far as how his rehab's going or not, but
Can I also say how glad I am that the Red Sox front office managers, I don't know who made the decision, but they finally got it through their thick heads that Garrett Whitlock needed to stay in the bullpen. Thank God. Like, who was the idiot that just kept wanting to think that he was a good starter? Like, you're continually breaking the man. Stop it. Put him in the bullpen. We all know it. For some reason, y'all think y'all know better. But, okay, I'm glad that he's finally there and that he's staying there because he seems to be, he seems to be doing pretty well, and I'm glad for that.
Yeah, it definitely seems like he's been thriving in his new role this year, which I'm happy for because it didn't look promising in years past with the experiments that we were playing with. So I'm happy to see that he's having success this year and is doing.
Yeah,
as well
it feels
as he
like
is,
he's
so.
Returned to that when we first saw him and everybody was like, whoa, look at Whitlock. Like, wow, that was a great, trade from the Yankees. We really got a good treasure there. And then, let's start him as, let's put him as a starter. And, all heck was breaking loose. But, yeah, I feel like he's back to his original form. The why we are liked him in the first place.
Yeah.
And I'm glad to see that.
Yep. Yep, for sure. For sure. One last thing I wanted to bring up was Hunter Dobbins, because we just found out that he was injured, and I think it was ACL.
Yeah.
I think it was an ACL tear or that something broke in his knee. Yeah, that's that. Yeah, and I was frustrated at first when I heard about it, because he just came back from an injury, and I was interested in his starts and stuff, and I wanted to, you know, continue to see what he could do. And then I thought more about it, and then I just became a little bit disappointed, just because he's been injured a lot this season, and it concerns me, because is this a pattern that is going to start happening? Like, is he going to become injury prone, or is he injury prone? So I hope not, because I did really like him as well. I thought that he was tough, and I think that he liked to game, but
What did you think about him? I loved that attitude. I loved that he was just like, I would rather retire than have a Yankee contract. I love that. We need a little bit more of that spitfire attitude to come into the game, because things have gotten too nice. And I was just like, yeah, talk some poop there, man. I love that. And I was heartbroken when he came back from the injury and then got injured again. I'm like, oh, man. But speaking of injuries, I just want to put it out there that I do not miss Tristan Casas. If he never comes back, I'm all right with that. He is such a pain in the dupa, or, you know, pain in the butt, whatever. He's just, oh my gosh. Bless his heart, but if I never see him playing on the field again, I'm fine with that. He's just a mess. He's that kid that you just are like, ugh.
Well,
anyway, sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I was going to say, and it's been nice that we've been able to get it done with Toro and Gonzalez playing at first base. So it kind of shows that we don't really need Tristan Casas. Not that he provided much for us anyways, but we've been getting it done so far, you know, with those two. So it'd be a good time to maybe explore some options for the future as far as our first base situation goes, because I don't think there's anything coming up from Worcester as far as first base.
I feel like Toro's also been a nice surprise. We didn't really mention him before, but I feel like he's been a nice surprise to see, like, how well he's been doing. And I'm glad for him. I'm glad for him, because I'm sure he never thought that he would be able to do what he's actually been doing. And I hope that he also keeps his momentum, because he's been a great contributor.
Yeah, agreed. Definitely agree. All right. Any other thoughts or comments before?
Any thoughts or comments? Here comes Mr. Cushman. I really appreciate this podcast, because this podcast has taught me more about baseball than I ever thought I ever would learn. And I don't know, if y'all aren't listening to this podcast, what are you doing with your life? That's what I want to know. But here's hoping that the momentum is kept, and that we have here's my last parting comment. I would absolutely love to see, as kind of a payoff for Bregman's leadership, us at least get into the playoffs, and for the kids to really enjoy that. I want that for them. I don't want it necessarily for me. I want it for the kids, because it would bring me joy for them to experience the playoff energy, and make them, and I, not for nothing, I feel like they're saying now, like, don't sleep on us. Just because Devers isn't here, don't sleep on us. And I feel like they're they're working hard to prove that out. Does that make sense?
Yep. Yep. Yeah, for sure. Well, I'm happy that we got to do this again. And I'm happy that we got to do this, you know, at the All-Star break and kind of give our thoughts and whatnot. I think it's been a good conversation. I want to say thanks to Terry for letting us do this again. It's been a good time.
Yeah, it was fun to hang out, fun to listen. I'm mad that you guys don't love Devers as much as I do, but it's fine. It's fine.
I was out shopping with my girlfriend the other day. We were at Dick's Sporting Goods, and we were in the Boston section, and they had it didn't show the number or name or anything, but it said 50% off Red Sox jerseys or whatever. And she's like, "Oh, look!" And I took one look at it. I saw 11. I go, "No, that's Devers. I can't get that. I can't get." But you know, I was just joking around with her, and she was like, "Oh, that's how it works." And I was like, "No,
well,
not
actually,
really."
I immediately when Trevor's got traded. And my first thought was, did Cushman buy a Devers jersey? Because isn't that the thing that you've said, Terry? Is that like the minute you buy a player's jersey, they get traded? So that's why I was thinking that.
Oh, he pulls it out.
And there's the Devers jersey, ladies and gentlemen. There it is. Wow.
I got a Bogarts one in there. That's not cool anymore. And I got a number 40 Benintendi jersey. That might be cool to like the biggest nerds in the park. Like, oh my God, he wore that for like 50 games. And yeah, so nobody's safe right now. I mean, well, maybe Anthony, obviously, Meyer.
Rafaela.
I would say so, yeah. Yeah, he's safe. He might. Yeah, would he be the next one? He might be. I'd wear a Rafaela shirt.
Yes. Yeah. I was actually thinking about going out and getting one myself, just because I had predicted it. He vindicated me, so I'm just like, you know what? No matter what happens, I need to have a Rafaela shirt.
I also bought a Jackie Bradley Jr. shirt. In my defense, it was during the streak, the 29 game streak. If you remember that. So that was cool for a year. I couldn't wear it in like, you know, 2017 or something.
You can mail it to me. I will still proudly wear that shirt. I loved him. I thought he was.
You like Bradley? Oh, don't tell Jason. Don't tell Jason.
I know. He hates Bradley with the fire of a thousand suns. He was incredible. He was incredible out there. Like the catches he made. Yes, I will proudly wear it out.
Laura, he plays for the Savannah Bananas now, so you can still
it's
see him.
It's yet
if you
another
want.
Reason I would proudly wear the shirt, because he went, you know, Savannah Bananas are cool as crap.
One time for Christmas, like three girlfriends ago, her grandparents, this was in 2013, her grandparents bought me a Dice K Matsuzaka t-shirt. It wasn't a jersey. That was hard to keep a straight face. And so I gave my mom a list of three players one year that you, mom, don't buy these. Because I learned my lesson from the Dice K thing. I'm like, I gotta like put some parameters on this. And, she forgets, and then she calls me up because she's going shopping the next day. And her exact words were, "Terry, can you tell me those three players you absolutely despise?" And I'm like, "Yep." I'm like, "Here we go. Pablo Sandoval, David Price, and Dustin Pedroia." And if you're new to the show and you're like, "What? You hate Pedroia?" Well, I'm not going to get into it here, but yeah, I didn't like him. And yeah, so I think I got
we still like you anyway, so there you go.
Okay. I usually win people over, like Justin Gonzalez on Twitter. He's on a rival podcast now. we used to hate each other's guts, and we're not like besties or anything, but we have a pretty good rapport. I can win a lot of people over eventually, but yeah, it is what it is. All right. Well, you know what? We'll wrap on that. Excellent job. We'll do it again before long, I would say. And I think we've got the regular crew on Wednesday night, still deciding on the format. Thursday, tentatively no show, and then Friday, business as usual. So that's what everybody can expect. So have a good rest of your week. Take care.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.